This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Run by somebody not as great as the city. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. Yeah, we're going there today, all right? We're going there today. Well, we do have break news out of the gate, though, Bart. So let's get the number out there. Let's let them know how they can be part of the conversation. And let's get to the breaking news.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 1-800-919-3776. Once again, it's 1-800-919-3776. Get to the lines early and often because it's going to be a great show. We can call it a bit of the buffet with the breaking news. But if you can't get us on the phone, you go ahead and grab us on Bart and Han at the tweet. If you can't get us on the tweet, you can get us on the Instagram, DM Allen exclusively with your navel pics and your back tattoos, low back tattoos. And if you can't get us there, Bill, tell them where they can find us.
Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Then only I think Bill has Cam Newton blocked, and you only can find him on blackplanet.com.
He's on some planet, maybe, if he doesn't play any better, but never mind that. In the NFL, we do have some news, and it's local,
and
it involves the New York Football Giants. They put out a statement just before the show. Late last night, we were notified that a Giants player tested positive for COVID-19. Wow. The player was immediately self-isolated, and the contact tracing process was initiated. All the player's close contacts were identified and were informed to remain home today. Those individuals will participate in meetings remotely. We are working closely with the NFL's chief medical officer regarding the next protocol steps, and that the training center will remain open. The rest of the team will follow the normal practice and meeting schedule. Remember, the Giants don't play till Monday night against the Bucks on Monday Night Football. Now, it's being reported that the player, and Jordan Renan has this along with several others, is Will Hernandez, the offensive lineman, the second-year offensive lineman. So he's the one placed on the COVID list. And several of the offensive linemen were told to stay home. So basically practicing without an offensive line today.
They should be used to that.
I knew that joke was coming. Other coaches also,
John Stock,
by the way.
You throw the layup, John Stock. You expect me not to take it?
I just threw that one up for you. But two other coaches also have tested positive. So the Giants dealing with this right now, but are trying to obviously work their way through it. And we'll see where it goes. But, Bart, this is, I think, we've reached that point now in sports where we're kind of just, like, when these things happen, I don't know if we're going through that whole, like, gasp and panic anymore. It's sort of like, all right, handle it and move forward.
Exactly. You have to have a plan for it, right? We saw this last week alone just with the Raiders and what happened with them with Brown testing positive and the whole offensive lineman, the whole offensive line having to cancel or self-isolate as well. Mm-hmm. The contact trace, all was well with the other lineman. The game was played. But whenever you hear this, right, you know now what the new protocol is what was the player doing, where did he get it from, and was it negligence on the Giants' end, right? And we go back automatically to the pictures of Saquon.
Well, that's the first thing people thought.
Would Danny Dimes, right?
Yeah, would it be those guys? And fortunately, that's not, right? That's not what we're
That's not what we're talking about.
And, we don't have to worry about that. Right.
But that's what you have to worry about. And at this point, every team has to have some type of protocol in place. And I think that they really have to start thinking about maybe separating guys. When I say separating guys, as you prepare for practice, keeping your backups away from your starters as far as meetings, keeping your starters away from your backups as far as lifting weights. You have to start – because you got to start separating the ones from the twos. Your backup quarterback should never be in the same room with your starting quarterback. should never lift at the same time, because if you want to, if guys are going to get infected, you want it to be spread out throughout the different position groups, because if you lose an entire position group, then what is the NFL going to do? What is the team going to do? Mm-hmm. And you get back into that fine line of, do they have to forfeit the game? And if that's being said, then nobody gets paid from both teams, and then who do you hold accountable for making sure that the team that has no positive test still gets compensation?
And the fact that they play Monday, I think, is not, you know, is also something you got to feel like. All right, you get a day. I don't know. I'm trying to downplay this because I just feel like this has become part of our normal.
It is.
You know, like, I don't think this is one of those things where you just start to panic and shut it all down and all that stuff. I just think it's okay. Yeah. Isolate them. See who they were connected to. That's why the NFL put all these protocols in, and you move on from here. You know, I just like, and the problem, of course, will be their offensive line's already been kind of shaky, is how it impacts Monday's game if these players are cleared. And I mean, Hernandez, technically, if he tested positive, he's in the protocol, right? He's not going to be available for Monday.
Right. Exactly.
Unless, of course, they do a second test and, you know, we go through the whole thing again.
We go with the Nick Saban. The Nick Saban thing.
Punch you right in the face.
But I tell you what, you know, like, you know, it's happening all over in all kinds of sports. I mean, how would you like to be the Wisconsin team who's going to forfeit because in the Big Ten, their protocol, if you test positive, it is no testing out like the SEC. If you test positive, you're done for 2 weeks. So that whole team has, I think, 12 cases. You know, so listen, we knew that this was going to be part of the narrative and we're going to fight through it. We understand now with the colder weather coming, especially in the colder climates in the colder, mm-hmm. you know, states, you're starting to see it, you know, outbreak a little bit more than, say, the southern states where the heat is still rampant because people are still allowed and able to eat outside, still able to socially distance. But now you have people, you know, students going to school, you have football teams and basketball teams on the local level, Pee-wee league teams are still playing, and it's going to have more of these outbreaks, and we just have to understand that this is what we have to live with right now if we're going to keep our sports going.
And speaking of keeping sports going, let's move on to the other story of the day. And again, 800-919-3776 is the number. And this is one that has caused really a lot of outrage, Bart. And it might be a complete facade. It might be just swinging it. It's all this is. There's nothing to this. If you ask anyone in the know, I've talked to lawyers this morning about it, and I've asked several other people, and it's really all depending on which media outlet you read, of course. But the New York Post did report last night, and this has been slipped out there a little bit, but it's become now a thing, that the mayor, Bill de Blasio, is in the process of looking into whatever ways the mayor's office can block the ability of Steve Cohen to complete the sale and take over as owner of the Mets. Because of some stipulation in the Citi Field lease, because that is city-owned land. And so he has some say that's built in on ownership transfer. And for some reason, now the statement from the mayor's office is that it's just due diligence. But others that are whispering to the Post and other media outlets are saying, no, he's got an issue with Cohen, and he's breaking balls, basically, Bard. That's the easiest way, the only way I could put it. That's what he's doing.
Man,
you know, whether or not he can actually legally go all the way to a point, because this will turn into a whole appeals process. This will get ugly. And what you really don't want to do, or I don't think anybody wants, I mean, I'm not a city taxpayer. I don't live in the city, so it doesn't affect me personally. But I can't imagine anybody in the city is like, oh, yeah, I want taxpayer money to be spent on fighting an ownership transfer of a franchise where I would say 99% of the fan base is waiting with bated breath for this man to take over as their owner. It's incredible to me. He still has to go through more. How many hurdles does Steve Cohen have to go through to take over a franchise that has been poorly run for so many years? And all he's going to do is put money into it and bring some type of civic pride to this city for one of its sports teams, for a guy that anticipates to spend a lot of money and run the franchise the right way. Okay? And now we're going to get in the way of this? The most self-aggrandizing thing I have ever seen a mayor do outside of Giuliani sitting right next to Joe Torre with a Yankee hat on during the World Series. Other than that, I mean, like, it's just beyond comprehension why this would even be something you would want to make public. it's bad enough your city has reached the depths of Dinkins era New York. That's how desperate, that's the despair this place is in right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to make this public. This is your act. This is what you're going to do. So disingenuous of this guy. And again, even if it's just a ploy, even if you know deep down, I can't really do this, but we have this. Let's look into it. Let's just create that discomfort. Let me just nudge this dude. That's all it is. I just want to flex. That's all this is going to be. Let's do it. Let's do it just to bother him. This is the same thing as before he was mayor, when the NBA was going to have the All-Star game in New York City.
Yeah.
And he's a Brooklyn guy, right? So he petitioned the commissioner's office in the NBA, David Stern and Adam Silver, to not have the game played at Madison Square Garden. He wanted it at Barclays. And he gave all these reasons, and he was going after Dolan about it. And it's like, yo, what the hell do you have to say about this?
Right.
Shut the hell up. The league is bringing the game and all this money into the city. And you want to cause some problems with this? And now you're talking about a franchise that so many people love, including my mother. God bless her. She loves the Mets. I don't know why, but she does. And you're going to mess with her fandom now? You're going to mess with her hopes? Not on my watch, Sonny. Not on my watch. It's bad enough this place has gone to complete shambles since you have taken over. And it's beyond comprehension that you got reelected. But now you're going to do something like this and try to flex. And all you're doing is making people miserable in your city. Yeah. Miserable.
Making it about you. He's making it about himself, man. Like, he's injecting himself into the decision when he should just stand back and be happy that somebody's going to come here and invest billions of dollars and going to try and create jobs and create higher-paying jobs. You know, you talk about, you know, we were talking to Buster yesterday. What did Buster say? It's a lot of executives, a lot of smart guys that are unemployed right now because people are cutting back their payroll. They're cutting back their staff. And he's a guy that wants to cherry pick and bring in smart people so we can put a good product out here so that we can get fans' excitement. And when fans are excited, they spend money. Right? When we talk about being able to sell out City Field, talking about being able to create some excitement, some joy around here in the midst of a year where it's been down for everybody. Everybody's trying to just stay positive, stay afloat. And we've been wishing. And how many times have we done radio, Alan, in this market, and people have called up and complained about the Mets, complain about what's going on, trying to complain about everything that they wish that the Mets would do, the Wilpons would sell. Well, damn it, the Wilpons are willing to sell, and we're willing to have an opportunity to be able to be able to be big spenders, to not be the little brother of the Yankees when it comes to financially, to be able to match them free agent for free agent, to create that rivalry, to make that Subway Series something that's a fair fight. Because guess what? We all playing on the same level playing field. I can get the same players, and I have access to the same players that you have access to. That's not only good for baseball, that's great for the city, to bring up the joy so people who don't have to be closet Met fans, they can proudly wear their jerseys. They can go out with their Darryl Strawberries. They can go out with their DeGrom jerseys. They can go out with their Dom Smiths. Yeah, I said it. The Dom Smith jersey that should be the number one jersey in all the Mets, you know, all of the Mets. And he wants to take that away, or he wants to cause pause or hesitance or make people upset just because he can flex. That is a sign of a narcissist. That's a sign of a very, very, like, that's a sign of, like,
that's a sign of somebody lacking something.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to
say it in the right way without getting us habitually to get us thrown off the station. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't care, man.
He's compensating for something.
This stuff can't happen. Not now. We're in the midst of a pandemic. This shouldn't even be top 20 in your priority list, dude. This shouldn't even be on the docket. Not at all. I'll deal with that another time. This is not something you jump all over. You're telling me, oh, no, I got to protect this franchise from a guy that has maybe a checkered past, and I got to protect. You got to protect him from what? From what?
From spending money?
You're going to protect him from that? All right, so let's then instead go the other direction, right? If this is what this is about, and it's what some people are suggesting, that it's, A, you're trying to, like, what is it? This is what I want to know. Tell me. And my beautiful mother, Michelle, tell me, what is stopping you from allowing this? Why do you have to step in? Why? Because you think it's either I want to put some money in my pocket, so let me get Steve Cohen to have to, like, give me some shut-up money? Is that what you want? Are you trying to? Is this an embezzlement thing? Because that's what a lot of people think. Is that what you're doing? So you're is that what you're doing? Because tell the people of New York what you're doing and why. Because no one understands this. No one. You need to explain. If this is going to be out there, don't put out some statement. It's just due diligence.
Are the reports
you're full of
true?
Crap due diligence. It's not that. This is your swinging it. So either you want money in your pocket or you want A-Rod and J-Lo to have the team. One way or another, you should say that then. Don't be so disingenuous and call it due diligence. You're full of crap if it's due diligence. Because there's plenty more you should be put. There's so much to keep you busy that this shouldn't even be on the docket.
Right. The pandemic and making sure that, you know, guys are feeling safe on the MTA. You know, make sure they're traveling, worrying about the budget and worrying about how we're going to replace some of the income that we lost so that the city can manage. Worrying about this new wave coming. He wants to worry about baseball.
How about the exodus? How about worry about the fact that rent is plummeting? Why? Nobody wants to live here anymore.
Money there to keep you busy.
That's right. Now, I love Mike Vaccaro. I mean, he's the voice of the city. He's a columnist at the Post. And he is. He's the poet laureate of New York City sports. That's what he is. I'll say it. And he had this great, this is the line. This is the line of the column that he wrote in today's Post. It's already a given that he will be remembered as among the most vainglorious mayors. Love that word. To ever walk the corridors of City Hall. Now it seems he wants to make sure he adds a few more million aggrieved and aggravated citizens in his wake. Vainglorious. X-Clan.
Give him the gas face.
And glorious. Like, I love that word. But that's it in a nutshell right there. And that's what I don't understand. That's what angers me. I cannot understand for the life of me why this is the issue now. Why now? This is the issue. Jerry Reinsdorf, you have a problem with him. Whatever. You're an owner. You probably don't like the fact that this guy's coming in and he's $10 billion richer than anybody else in the league. You don't like that. You don't want somebody coming in throwing money around, and you know he will because he's aggressive. So nobody wants that. I understand when other owners in other cities might want to step in and block this thing, might want to say, don't really want to have a guy like that in my league because I'm afraid that this guy's willing to do anything to win.
He's going to raise the
and
price.
Absolutely. I get that. He's going to need 22 of 29 votes. That's what he's going to need to become officially the owner. But in all of that, you go through all those hurdles, and then the mayor's going to come in and just throw one more. He's just going to try to trip you before the finish line just because he can. Just because he can. You'll still crawl to the finish line, but he just wants to trip you for it. Now, what kind of leadership is that? And that's why the city's where it is, because attitude reflects leadership. 800-919-3776 is the number.
Tell him why you're mad, son.
I did. And now I want to hear how the fans feel as well. 800-919-3776. We begin with John in Valley Stream. Go, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? I've been listening to you since day one, been working through the pandemic. I drive a truck in the city and the boroughs. The last couple of days, I'm noticing storefronts boarding up their windows.
Yep.
I guess, you know, expected another riot. And regardless of whatever de Blasio says, the city is a complete ghost town. Things are just closed. Bars that I grew up going to are gone. And this guy has the audacity to step in and even take 3 minutes to ingest himself into a business deal with the Mets. Like, I just don't get it. This guy needs to go. He's needed to go. There is 58 things I could sit here right now and name on a list that need to be beyond fixable and beyond. And these are the things he needs to address, and he's yet to address any of them. Right. I've sat here since the pandemic, driving, working in the city, and just watched it just destroyed. And it breaks my heart. And what makes, and I'm a Yankee fan. And for this guy to step in and even open his mouth about anything sports related,
John, that's exactly,
I just don't get it.
John, what you just said is exactly how I feel. And then I add the part when you just said at the end, and I'm a Yankees fan. I shouldn't care about this. I should be like, good. Let the Mets now go through this mess. I should want this for the Mets, but I don't.
Well,
because it's a mockery of what we're this city. It's a mockery. It's a microcosm of what we've become as a city. And oh, by the way, he's a freaking Red Sox fan, and he's open about it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Alan, but I'm a not only am I a Yankee fan, I'm also a diehard New Yorker. And what's going on and what's taking place? I mean, just yesterday I passed the NBA store. This morning I had a delivery, and it's all boarded up because
it's
they're
despair.
Ready.
It's despair. It's exactly right.
It's disgusting, and it's so sad. It breaks my heart. And this guy and the girl are getting involved with A-Rod and J-Lo, like, who are living 75 floors above the world, and this is what they're talking about.
Cohen lives in Connecticut. It's less. Though, I'll tell you what, John, and thanks for the call. I appreciate the passion, man. And be safe out there while you're driving.
And
listen,
that's a voice of the streets, right? So he's seeing it every day. He sees what it was. And he sees what it used to, what it is now. He knows what it used to be, and like you know. We're doing the show from the comfort of our home, so we're not on the streets. We don't see the difference. He's a delivery service.
And I miss that, Bart. Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm done. I joke about the commute. It's great. I go downstairs. I get myself set up. I'm fine. I miss it. I liked being in the city to do shows. I like walking on the streets. I like being in the subway talking to fans when they see me, and we talk about sports, and I get the feel of what people are thinking. I miss all of it. I feel so detached from it. It's driving me crazy. You know, so you want to be out there. And that's why I love when we get calls, because you get the feel of the people who are out there. You need to know what they're thinking and feeling. And oh, by the way, if you're a leader of a city, you need to be doing that. Get the pulse. Understand, this is not the hill to die on, Mayor. There's plenty others for you to do that on. And I still can't believe you're still there. My word. All right. Anyways, 800-919-3776 is the number. You know where we're going. You know where we're going from here. Okay. Now, There's more statements out. We'll get to all the detail. We'll try to keep it as balanced as possible, but you can tell I'm pissed off. And Bart, I apologize because I probably gave you like two words
get
to speak.
It, get,
right
bro,
here.
Get it off your chest. Get it off your chest.
I tell you, I look my mother.
She wants to see one more World Series. That's your mayor.
Like, it's just, I feel, we're a city and we're run, like, it's just ridiculous what's happening here. It's ridiculous. I can't even begin. But you know what? At our station, we continue to kill it. And the K-Show, as you know, remains number one. And we've got a contest starting on the K-Show. The 20 and 20, Bart, starts 3 o'clock today. So you want to listen for your chance to win. They've got 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home, which we're all in a lot more than we want to be, a little more enjoyable. The 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak. I like this place, the Bartesian, premiums cocktails. Like the Bartesian, it's almost you own this.
I need
Bartesian
one right now,
premiums.
Man.
N98.7 ESPN. Steve Cohen wants to experience amazing. In fact, he already has because he's been part of ownership. But May is trying to do what he's doing. He's
been there. That's what's crazy. He's been part of the organization. He's minority. He's just buying more. So you should have had an issue with him, owning some of it. This ain't really.
Or at least when this became a thing, how about step forward and be like, you know what? Don't know if this is going to go down because we got this issue. You know, they got the little felony thing, so I'm allowed to look into that. I can block it if I want to. Political ball break. That's all it is. 800-919-3776. Back to the calls.
Yeah, you know what
we
I say
go.
To him? What, before we go to call you, what, yeah. what I say to DeBly, bye, Felicia.
Jerry and Hempstead. Good, Jerry.
Alan and Bart, I love you guys, but let me explain something about New York that's been going on for like 20, maybe 30 years. In the poor neighborhoods, okay, they gave us felonies from Don Valley for 25 years in my neighborhood to Don Valley people. To this day, you still can't get a job because of that felony. They tell you 7 years, 10 years, don't worry about it. You can get a job after that if you have a felony, and it's not true.
But
so
you know,
somebody
funny,
like a
but,
billionaire. But
Jerry, it's funny you say that, though, because de Blasio is
holding.
Wait. I know what you're saying. But his whole platform has been criminal justice reform. His whole thing has been not to let things from your past chase you into your future. That's his whole thing.
But Alan, with his money and the people and the clout that he had, he could have started an expungement program in New York by now. You got people like me who did something when we was a young kid and can't get a decent job. Okay, I'm 58
so who do you,
years old.
So, I'm trying to ask you, though. Who
still can't get a decent job because a felony is on my record. It's not right. Somebody with a billionaire like that gets his roots, He should have been there with his power and his money to change the rules and get us an expungement program so he wouldn't have to go through what so many of us have to go through.
I mean,
I see what you're saying. All right, Jerry. So maybe that's something that Steve Cohen has to do.
Yeah.
All right. And if de Blasio comes forward and maybe says that publicly, thanks, Jerry, for the call and maybe for the insight as well.
But if
say that publicly.
Right, exactly. So the thing is, like, Cohen doesn't need this. That's the whole thing. New York needs this. Cohen doesn't need this. He's a billionaire. If he has $14 billion, he can enjoy his life and go and do whatever the hell he wants. We understand money is power in this world. And listen, I understand, Jerry, life's not fair. And it's unfortunate because the narrative is written by the winners. But we can demand more of him once he gets here. Or we can demand more before. But, I mean, until we bring it to his attention, we have no idea. I have no idea what he does. I have no idea what he does in the community, what his initiatives are.
Foundations, all that stuff. Right.
When he becomes an owner, we can figure that out. But I
agree.
I think, again,
if this is – because there's always motivation. If this is the motivation from the mayor, if that's what he's about, well, you know, you got a felony. You shouldn't be able to do things that other people, like Jerry just said. If that's the case – then don't tell me due diligence. Tell me that, because I can get behind that.
If
you're just trying to pressure him into saying, why don't you then give some of your billions or some of your money to help other people who are just like you and have a record? Like, why don't you do that? I'm all for it. But you're not doing that. You're going due diligence, which is a bunch of crap. You're just being annoying. And you know what? You're fully stocked and annoying. Okay, trust me. Ask your people in your city. 800-919.
He's got a surplus. He's a surplus of annoying.
He certainly does. Let's move on. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I got to say, I love you guys. I love you guys. You're the best. You're the best on the radio. You're number one in this slot.
Thank you.
I'm going to say is this. Mayor de Blasio worries about the stupid things. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I want to see Yankees and Mets go at it in free agency. Okay. This is why he has to say, okay, let this guy in. But he's not. He's worried about the little things. We have a coronavirus going on out here. People losing their jobs left and right. Steve Cohen will bring money into this city. He will fix up all around Queens. I know that. He will do that. He will build on that because that's what he is. He's a billionaire. That's how he makes his money. And he will give back to other people. And another thing is, I have found out through my sources, this is breaking news, that he told Trevor Lawrence.
Can't wait.
Joe, I got to let you go on that, man. I see what he was doing.
He reached out to Dabo.
Come on, man.
Hey, let me holler at Trevor. Yeah, Trevor, you might want to stand in there. You all they talking about.
He called me.
Yeah. Mike's at Old Bridge. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
What's up? Good.
Hey, man, it's been a minute, man. How you been? Where the hell you been?
All right. So I just want to say de Blasio has said for a long time that New York has been a tale of two cities, and he does not want that happening anymore. And I really do believe the last thing that he wants is a rich white billionaire to own the New York Mets. I really do believe that.
What were the Wilpons?
If they're going to make a change, this is the opportunity to do it. And I really do believe that he's going to say, I'd rather have A-Rod and J-Lo. I'd rather have my...
But he doesn't. It's not his decision. He doesn't own the team.
I understand that. But this is the reason. Han, you keep going crazy. Why? This is the reason why.
That'd be a terrible reason.
So he wants somebody worth $300 million to own.
I see what you're saying, though, Mike. I get it. Thanks for the call. I know where you're going with it. No, I appreciate it, Mike. I see what he's doing.
$300 million and being a celebrity is good.
Well, it's not the celebrity part, Bart. It's the diversity part. That's what it is. But you understand that the real money in the A-Rod J-Lo, there's a couple of white guys. Right. So what's the difference? You're saying so the face of the franchise, is that what you're saying?
It's like Richard Pryor.
It's a facade. It's not real. It's a facade. Michael Jordan is a billionaire who owns a team.
Yeah.
Like that's the status. If that's the status you're looking for, then you're looking for Michael Jordan. A-Rod is a front man.
He's a Jeter of the deal.
It's a front man. It's not really his money. It'll still be a white guy's money. So I can't imagine that's part of this. It can't be. Please don't tell me it is that. Joel, Long Island, Joel.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love y'all show. I can't even believe De Blasio is doing this. When I first heard that Cohen was going to buy the Mets, I almost cried. I was so happy. And now he's over here complaining about a rich guy trying to buy the Mets that has a sketchy pass or whatever. I work in kitchens in the city repairing all this, all their equipment. The city is empty compared to what it was last year at this time. And he's worrying about the wrong things, and he's just trying to get all the Met fans to just rebel against him. Watch how we're gonna they're gonna have a riot outside of City Hall. He keeps this up if it actually continues. Because what's gonna happen when free agency hits, and he's got this appeal process with everything, and we can't get any free agents and doing different things of that nature for the Met.
He doesn't care. Like that's the whole thing, Joel. I don't think he cares about that stuff. I appreciate the call, man. You know, I don't think that stuff matters. And you could tell me all you want. Well, it is part of it. Look, Bart, we make a big deal about sports because it's part of our lives.
Yep.
You know, you were an athlete in this city. Like, you were a celebrated athlete in this city. You kind of understand. You see how people react when the Jets were doing what they were doing when you were on that team, when you were getting to the conference championship. You guys were Final Four team, right? Back-to-back years. You were one of the elite teams in the NFL. You were that close. It meant something. I mean, we've seen the year after. You saw the Giants. Chris Canty sees it better than anybody. He's got a ring on his finger. Winning a Super Bowl. What it does, how people feel. It gets it. This sports has a special way to lift a city up and give it hope, give it energy. I've always said this about the Knicks. The Knicks have been bad for a long time, and there's a whole generation that doesn't remember. But when the Knicks are good, not even winning championships, just good, the city just wakes up. People are excited. You look forward to games because when the best come into the Garden, you don't feel like we're going to get smoked.
Yeah.
You feel like, man, it's going to be a fight. Like, you loved it. You know, Carmelo against those Bulls teams, against the Heat teams, and that group. I mean, when Chauncey and Amari and Carmelo walked into the building, and whoever was walking into, like, who's got it, right? Tyson Chandler. Like, you just knew. Who's your squad? Let's go. Then you felt like you had a chance to win, and there's something about that that empowers you as a citizen. The next day you wake up, you go to work, you feel good. When your team stink, it affects you. It does. It's just something that happens from city to city. And you're having that right now in New York, and it's frustrating. It really is. So when you have an opportunity for a large part of the population of your city and those around it, and those, you know, those of us who don't live in the city but go into the city for work or everything else, it's still part of the heartbeat. And when you take that away, or you create animosity and you just create unnecessary trouble, chaos, it just continues to just beat down the optimism that are inside the people in the city who already are dealing with enough pessimism. They step over it every single day, right? They have an umbrella and they try to hide from it every day because they see it. And you're hearing the calls of people that are there. They look around and they just see it. This isn't what it was. Why? Why? Why aren't we what we were? Man, I've been screaming this to nobody for the better part of my years here at ESPN Radio. I'm the guy that at night was screaming and yelling about, why do we suck as a sports city? I can't stand it.
Because the lack of resources, we know what the problem was with the Mets. The Sandy Alderson for years didn't even know what the hell the budget was. You know what I mean? He didn't know what the budget was, and so how to even be able to appropriate the funds to be able to spend things, right? We try to have patience, and we try to get the right people in, but, you know, we make it hard for people out here. But also, we don't need it coming from the administration when we're trying to get an influx of money. I've been on the radio for three or four years now, and every call has always been about, I wish the Johnsons and I wish the Wilpons would sell. And now you have – and Dolan, right? So we got three out of the six or major sports – or eight major sports that we have.
Well, Mara and Tisch have certainly gotten their share of criticism over the last few years as well about the way things have been run there. You know, I don't think there's very few owners. I mean, even the Steinbrenners, if you're a Yankees fan and you're a diehard, you look sometimes at Hal and you say, you know what? I don't like the fact that you keep talking budget. I don't like the fact that there's it's not a real cap, but you have a bit of a cap on your spending. Now, you went over it for Gerrit Cole, but there just is that sense. You know, I mean, the one, I would tell you, the team that everybody feels good about ownership wise, and it's not a hugely popular team, but it's the Islanders.
Yeah.
Ledecky and Malkin are spending money, and they hired people that know what they're doing.
And
they built an arena. They did all the things you're supposed
to.
Exactly.
We heard what Buster Olnick said yesterday. He's going to purge and pillage, you know, people who don't have the resources to stay afloat now, so they're laying off personnel, talented people that he can cherry pick from and grab,
yes,
and put the most brightest minds, analytics, and the merge between analytics and gut. Because Sandy is all gut. He's old school. And you want to give him some type of information, give him the analytics so it can be a perfect marriage, a blend of the two. And, you know, the Wilpons don't have the resources to put that type of money in there. The Wilpons would be one of those, you know, organizations that are laying people off. October 31st, this Saturday, as the two boxers and the two best boxers in the world go head-to-head in the fight of the year. Candidate. I can't say fight of the year. Candidate. I got to make sure I put that down there because it only takes place if they make it take place. Don't miss Devontae Tank Davis as he takes on Santa Cruz on live on pay-per-view Saturday, October 31st. Davis and Santa Cruz will be a rare clash in boxing history in the world titles in which two world weight class titles are at stake for a chance to watch the fight on us. Text Showtime to 44202. Again, text Showtime, not Allen, not me, to 44202, and we'll give one listener the pay-per-view access code. Purchase the Showtime pay-per-view on their Showtime app or on their smart TV or connected device. Order online at Showtime.com or contact your cable TV or satellite provider to get this clash of the Titans, man. I'm telling you what, we're going to see Money Mayweather in the corner. But we're going to see Santa Cruz's father, who's had some health ailments, and we know what happens when fighters fight inspired. But hey, daddy, somebody got to die.
You keep doing it. You keep putting a little extra. You got me now.
I'm a warrior.
Can't wait to see this fight now, all because of the way you're setting it up. All right, before we get to Blitzer Prevent, just a little bit of we'll put a bow on the de Blasio Cohen Mets debacle. And the latest here from the Post is the mayor this morning saying that the review of the Cohen ownership transfer, he said it's not personal. The quote is this, again, via the New York Post. It's our land. There's a legal requirement that if there's an ownership change, it has to be evaluated. Some folks trying to ascribe it to personal feelings. It's not. And then asked of his personal opinion of Cohen, de Blasio told the Post that it wasn't appropriate to comment. He said, we're in the middle of a legal review. It's not appropriate to be commenting on the people involved. And then that was basically it. And he didn't say if there would be a decision at all by Friday. I'm telling you, this is just, I mean, it's just, that's it. It's just busting chops. It's all this feels like at this point. It's annoying. And that's what we seem to keep getting out of this leadership. All right. Enough of that. We appreciate everybody's calls and passion on this. But right now, let's get back into the world of sports and other headlines in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
You ready for this, Bart?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go, because we got a couple of them to get to. And the first one, just quickly, NBA, as we know, proposing a 72-game season coming up for 2021. Reportedly could start December 22nd, Christmas Day being a big day for it. December 1st was when camps would begin. And they're going to have, they're trying to talk with the union actually this week about it and put a sort of soft date for Friday as a decision they need in time. In The Athletic, however, Michelle Roberts, who is the head of the players union, pushed back saying, we're not going to be rushed into a decision, and said that giving all that's been resolved between now and the 22nd, factoring in financial risks and everything else, it defies common sense that it can all be done in time. Doesn't mean it won't, but right now it feels like December 22nd, Christmas, is too soon. We know LeBron feels about it, and we've heard other players push back on restarting that quickly as well. So Blitz or Prevent, as I've been saying all along, Martin Luther King Day, which is January 18th, would be the obvious starting date that I think everybody can agree on.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you talk about Christmas Day. We're talking about basically about 18 more days, 2 more weeks.
allows the players to be home with their kids for Christmas, mm-hmm. so that they can say, hey, we did our due diligence. Okay, daddy got to go to work, so to speak. Even though they're not going to be in a bubble, they're going to be there. So you can still wake up and have, you know, Christmas. Not every team is going to start on Christmas Day. But that's the argument that they will make, right? The symbolic gesture of making sure that you're with your family and having the season start on the other side of the year, you know, 2021. So, you know, and this is a little bit more about LeBron and trying to probably find a happy compromise between, okay, I don't want to start on the 25th. Okay, we'll give you two more weeks.
Right.
You can't say nothing after that. So giving you three extra weeks. So you're right, Alan. I think that's probably the more likely day. And then if they want to keep with the social justice things, having it on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, it seems fitting on many levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So we'll see where it goes. It's only a couple weeks, like you said. I can't imagine. I know the owners really want Christmas Day for the, obviously, for broadcasting. And the finances of it. You're not going to have fans in the building, so it's not about selling tickets. This is more about broadcasting and getting your product back out there.
Well, understand.
So they might have to give that up in return. Yeah. Well, we'll start on that on Martin Luther King Day and go from there. You're not going up against the NFL either way. Yeah. So you don't even have to worry about that.
Well, understanding that, you know, if the game doesn't start on Christmas Day, it's in a Sunday, I'm assuming.
It's a Friday.
So what you're talking about is no NFL, and you know that's an opportunity when everybody is home, and what are they going to do? They're going to watch basketball.
Well, no, it's
the fabric of America.
You're right.
Christmas Day symbolizes the start, the official start of the NBA.
Yeah, and for ESPN and Turner, you kind of want that, but you might not get it. You might have to wait, so we'll see what happens from there. All right. So Justin Turner, as we talked about, violated the coronavirus protocols, according to Major League Baseball, because he went out and celebrated with his teammates and refused instructions from security to leave the field. And now Major League Baseball said it risked the safety of others. They put out a statement saying that they're starting a full investigation into this whole thing. And they really did put it on Turner, saying that he was the one who refused. He chose to disregard. This is what the statement said. Chose to disregard the agreed upon joint protocols and instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While the desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. And so they said he emphatically refused to comply. Buster only said that sources are telling him Turner could face a suspension, but there's no precedent for one, of course, so they don't really know how he's going to handle it, and that they're going to investigate more into whether officials from the Dodgers and personnel helped to facilitate his return to the field. So Blitz or Prevent, is this solely on Justin Turner for refusing to comply, or does MLB have some accountability here to control the situation from the start, meaning...
Yeah,
why let him even play in the game?
Yep, exactly. Meaning that if he had an inconclusive test, then he should have been forced to wait. It should have been a picture of him running out to the game at, you know, in the eighth inning. Not one him being removed because he would have got the clearance. Oh, I got a bet. I can DH. I can do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It should have been that image. The fact that they, you know, took the chance that he might be positive and let him go and play the game. And then find out he's positive later to confirm that, then that is on MLB. But also with him, it's funny how Algieri, after winning the championship, had to pull out his credentials and he almost got in a chokehold. And this dude just running out telling people, no, I'm not going to listen. It would have been funny to have his ass tased. He's trying to celebrate.
Security just tackled him when he's trying to celebrate. What a moment that would have been.
And tased him. That would have been hilarious.
All right. So into the NFL. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, been practicing this week, but will not return tonight for Thursday Night Football for the Carolina Panthers.
Smart.
He had that high ankle sprain.
Smart.
The Panthers are playing your Falcons at 1-6. So he'll probably return next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So
yeah, you need him more for that. You should be able to beat the Falcons.
Right. So Blitz or Prevent?
Blitz.
Let me ask you this. Has McCaffrey been a bigger loss for the Panthers, by the way, middle of the pack in offense and 11th in passing without him, or fantasy owners who took him number one overall?
It was fantasy owners because you think about what the job that Mike Davis has done. He became a thing. He became everybody's favorite running back, especially, you know, after getting cut, you know, I think in 2019 from mm-hmm. the Chicago Bears. He's been a fantasy delight. So if you picked him up, you know, if you picked him up when you lost McCaffrey, then he held his own because he's one of the best fantasy running backs during that period of time. Robbie Anderson is third in the league in receiving. I mean, who thought we'd say that? He's only like maybe 40 yards behind DeAndre Hopkins. So good job on that one. Just continues to just throw mud in the face as we watch Perryman get scraped up by Carlos Hyde. But anyway, I digress. You know, I think
Teddy B, though.
starting to push the ball down the field.
Love him.
Also, when I said that Teddy B, you know, could have been, you know, a cheaper option for the Cowboys, everybody looked at me like I was crazy. But all he's doing is having a great season in his first season, you know, with, you know, the Panthers. So, you know, to each his own, but, you know, definitely the loser in this one, maybe, you know, was, you know, the squad and not the fantasy owners. Because if you picked up Mike Davis because he was smart, picked him up on the waiver wire, you did good.
There you go, if you paid attention. All right, last but not least, NFL moving forward with plans for the Super Bowl, but with a reduced capacity in the crowd. It'll be February 7th, even if the league ultimately adds an 18th week to the regular season to make up for any lost games. So at this point, they're planning to go 20% capacity at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, which normally holds 65,000 fans. With temporary seating, its capacity could be enlarged actually to 75,000 for a big event like the Super Bowl. So instead, they'll go 20%. Fans will be in pods 6 feet apart, and masks will be required. Now, during the regular season, the NFL has left attendance decisions to home teams in conjunction with state and local authorities, and half the league's teams have had paid attendance for at least one game, and the Bucs have had an average of 10,000 fans at two home games. So, Blitzer Prevent. The NBA and NHL played championships without fans in the building. Baseball's World Series had a limited capacity. They just finished it, and it looked different. But will it not feel like the Super Bowl without a capacity crowd?
You know what? I tell you what. If you listen to some of these college games, Alan, like, you can't tell if they're not showing the crowd that it's not a bunch of crazy psychos in there. The problem is sometimes when you talk about the Super Bowl, you get these corporate dudes that have etiquette, and they're not going stir crazy. I want the Duke crazy. I want the Cameron crazies in there. I want the people that's going to have their chest painted. I think, you know, you let those guys come in, and they'll make up for the lack of sound with there. And plus, you can pipe in sound, but I just hope that he get a good DJ.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.